All right, so let me just dive into our sermon here. And we go into week number 3 of our sermon, a series of how to navigate. Again, this was a series born out of our vision retreat that we experienced this spring slash summer, to where the congregation wanted to hear about this subject matter, how to navigate. Because these ideas are hard to grasp sometimes. We talked about anger. Anger is a tough one, isn't it? It's a challenge. It's difficult to process. Guilt. Guilt is one of those processing ones also that requires a lot of finesse to make sure that we have our focus on right. And then today we deal with jealousy. I mean, another subject matter none of us want to talk about, but it's a subject matter that is important to us as a body of believers to make sure we are navigating these things well. So this week, since we specifically address jealousy, we have to also not only see what definitions are, but we have to also see what Scripture says about jealousy. And again, I think this week we come down with two different types of jealousy. And in unique fashion, very obscure and very unique, it really is good and bad type of jealousy. And today we're going to be talking about that. If we make it simple, this sermon, when jealousy is used as an attribute of God, it is good. When jealousy is used as an attribute of you, we'll call it not good. Or bad, to be specific. So like each week, we want to talk about the defining moment of jealousy and how to define the word. We're also going to look at the Hebrew and the Greek very briefly. I won't bore you with a lecture. Although I really do enjoy teaching, I don't always get to do that in a sermon because everybody falls asleep on me. Because when you look at Greek and Hebrew, it gets long-winded and every vowel has a reason and every letter has a reason, and I won't teach to you today, but I'll at least express those words so you can understand. And then we're also going to look at what psychologists say because, you know, they're so smart. Psychologists deserve our recognition to see how they define jealousy. But let us start off with the definition of jealousy. In the modern day, Merriam-Webster defines jealousy as a jealous disposition, an attitude, or feeling, or zealous vigilance. But now, last week after our sermon, I was pointed to a Webster 1828 dictionary. And it is a new thing to me because I am not an English major. If you have not known that yet, you know it now. I'm not an English guy, although I like the English language. The Webster 1828 was new to me. And here's how they define it. That passion of peculiar uneasiness, which arises from the fear that a rival may rob us of the affection of one whom we love, or the suspicion that he has already done it, or it is uneasiness which arises from the fear that another does or will enjoy some advantage which we desire for ourselves. A man's jealousy is excited by attentions of a rival to his favorite lady. A woman's jealousy is roused by her husband's attentions to another woman. The candidate for office manifests a jealousy of others who seek the same office. The jealousy of a student is awakened by the apprehension that his fellow will bear away the palm of praise. In short, jealousy is awakened by whatever may exalt others or give them pleasure and advantages which we desire ourselves. I think that's an interesting way to define it because, one, it uses more words, and more words are good for us, but actually lays it out in an example. I think the way that they define it in the 1828 is unique because if you look at the 1828s, it's meant more of a timestamp as well when this was created, but they also give scripture references back then, which would not be in the modern day translation of the dictionary. But let us move on. The Hebrew word is kana, Kana. And this is the best way to describe jealousy. The way that people are anxious for one another. Good or bad? Because there's the God kind of anxious and jealous. And then there's the human kind. What about the Greek word? Zealous. Zealous. And then we get all kinds of words from that, cognates from that. And then we look at the psychology today. It says, jealousy is a complex emotion that encompasses feelings ranging from fear of abandonment to rage and humiliation. It strikes people of all ages, genders, and sexual orientation, and is most typically aroused when a person perceives a threat to a valued relationship or a third party. Now, psychology today goes on and says something about, you know, the idea of if someone else has something I want to have. Now, I think that describes it pretty easy, especially for our younger people, not us older people who are full of wise wisdom. But the idea of someone else has something I want. And that truly is the idea of jealousy. Someone else has something I want, or they're going to take something I have. And as a result, jealousy is seen as a necessary emotion sometimes because it preserves that social bond. That's Psychology Today speaking, saying that jealousy is a necessary root of all good things, if I paraphrase it. But the reality is sometimes jealousy goes too far. Jealousy becomes a difficult matter, becomes a difficult thing for us to understand and grasp. Instead of it being something that prompts us to be reminded that something is about to be taken away, it I'm trying to figure out the speaker, sorry. It's humming back at me. That's all right. We'll move on. Now that we understand this word a little bit better from not only the Greek word, the Hebrew word, Psychology Today, let us really dive into what Scripture says, because that truly is the more important matter of it. So we're going to be referencing lots of Scripture today. So if you have your Bible and you're really quick at turning it around, then I encourage you in that. But I will also be reading. The Scripture out loud. So if you don't want to turn back and forth, you might want to jot the references down. See, the good kind of jealousy is a jealous God. A jealous God. Exodus 34:14 says it like this. Exodus 34:14. You are never to bow down to another God, because Yahweh, being jealous by nature, is a jealous God. A word about Deuteronomy 4:24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God, giving the idea that God will judge because of his jealousy. Now, we understand the all-consuming fire that God has. And his jealousy will provoke that. And we see that in many references throughout Scripture. In Joshua 24:19, but Joshua told the people, you will not be able to worship Yahweh because he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not remove your transgressions and sins. See, Joshua is challenging people in these moments that they must stay true to God, stay focused on him, and not worship other gods. See, Joshua's still in that training phase of making sure they understand that they have to leave the gods behind them because there's only one true God. And so Joshua's words are to remind them and encourage them in that fact. What about 1 Kings 14:22? Judah did what was evil in the Lord's eyes. They provoked him to jealous anger more than all that their ancestors had done with the sins they committed. Now, if you look back at part of that story, I would reference 1 Kings 14 many times. If you look at what not to do in life to that might provoke God's anger, I would say this: don't worship other idols. Because as you can see here in 1 Kings 14, that is what the king led the people to do. And God's jealous anger was released. It's an important fact to understand that God is a jealous God. But if you want examples of good jealousy, that is a jealousy that is good. That a God loves you so much that he loves you without question. That if you're worshiping other gods, it makes him jealous. Because he loves you and wants more for you than you want for yourself. So there's a good type of jealousy. Some good jealousy runs into our nature as well as humans. Jealous because other people are worshiping other gods when our God should be the one worshipped. But let's dive into the bad type of jealousy. Envy. Now, a good example that comes to mind is some envious brothers. Now, when I say that, some of you might prompt up right away and say, well, I know who those are. Right, Joseph's brothers. You know, Joseph, the boy, had a great coat, many colors. His dad adored him. And if you were looking in Genesis 37, you would see that this great story of this young boy who was favored had this amazing dream about his entire family bowing down to him and how he would express that to them and share with them how they will one day bow down to him. Now, his dad did not help him very much by giving him this coat of many colors. Not just the coat of many colors, but the love and affection of the father. All this combined made the brothers burn with envy. Now, that's something we can all understand. That's something we can all get behind, right? When someone else has something we don't have. That was Jacob. He was favored. He got really nice things. And he got the love of the father that all of them wanted so much. So if you continue on in chapter 37, you'll also see the fact that the brothers were out in the field. And Joshua was seen off in the distance coming towards them. And so they hatched a plan as he came near. The first plan was, let's kill him. You see how jealousy goes to that next step? Not just envious, oh, I really wish I had that. But taking the action steps of, let's just kill him so it won't be in our way any longer. Luckily, cooler heads prevailed. And instead of killing him, they just sold him into slavery. I can see how that'd be a better option, I guess. That his brothers hated him so much, sold him into slavery because of their jealousy, fueled their rage. Now, the funny thing is they had no idea God's providence in that. That God used their jealousy to save the nation later on. Now, that's a story for another day. I don't want to go too far into someday when I get to share that story. But the reality is that these brothers burned with envy, burned with jealousy, burned with the bad kind of jealousy because they wanted something they didn't have. You ever have that feeling? When somebody has something you want? Well, let's go to the next story. King Saul, favored by God until what? Until King Saul made a mistake. A mistake that turned God's jealous anger towards him. And he would no longer be king. And David was anointed. Now, all this is fine and all. God is God, and Saul understood his kingship was going to be, you know, short-lived in a sense. That his sons were not going to inherit the kingdom. He kind of made peace with it, but in the back of his head, it burned and fueled a fire and brought David closer and closer to his center. Why? What? You keep your enemies closer, right? So he brought him in closer and closer to the fold so that Saul could keep an eye on him. But now there was this great battle that happened. This battle that David went out and fought for Israel, fought for King Saul, and returned. And all the ladies and all the men of the town came running out to the streets, chanting. Victorious chants. It was a great battle victory for Saul. How amazing that David fought so hard and on behalf of King Saul. But here's what King Saul held on to. 1 Samuel 18:6 through 7. As the troops were coming back when David was returning from killing the Philistine, the woman came out from all the cities of Israel to meet King Saul, singing and dancing with tambourines, with shouts of joy, and with three-stringed instruments. As they celebrated, the women sang, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." That is the phrase that Saul held on to and became jealous against David, to where he was set out and determined that David would never be able to be king, because Saul would make sure that that never happened. If you look at 1 Samuel 18:28 through 29, Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved him. And he became even more afraid of David. As a result, Saul was David's enemy from then on. See, that jealousy burns and enrages him to the point of no return. Saul was David's enemy. David was not enemies with Saul. Because of that jealousy, that he had something he wanted. Saul coveted, wanted that favor of God. But David had it. And Saul wanted it. But because of his choices, lost that favor. And if you lean into our wrap-up time of our sermon here today, God is not going to respect any one of you over the other. I'm telling you, none of you are favored over the other. Because we're all children of the one true God. We're all His. He loves us all the same, without question. We all have very unique calls on our life. To join the armed forces, to go into ministry, to serve in the Sunday school, to serve in our nursery. Whatever it is, God has a very unique call in your heart. And He loves every one of us unconditionally, without question. Now, if you look at this idea of jealousy, it divides people. It makes them your enemy, even though you don't want them to be, but you feel like you have to commit to that enemy. So if you look at Mark 3:25, it says this: if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. You see how jealousy can be this moment that happens. The righteous jealous. You know, when you fear something is going to be taken away from you, and it prompts you to lean into that person, not lean against the person that you feel like you're going to lose them to. See, God has a plan. If you feel that urge to be jealous to a point of hatred, give it to Him. Seek reconciliation. Because jealousy does just as much harm to you as it does to the person you're jealous for. Jealousy corrupts our minds and our hearts and our bodies. And to the point that it causes so much harm in our own self. Then I want to boil this down just to a couple words to where you can grasp and process. And it's this idea of protect versus possess. If you look at all the different definitions, if you look at the Greek and Hebrew words, you look at Psychology Today, you look at the definition of 1828 from the Webster Dictionary, all these things boil down to this one contrast: protect or possess. So good jealousy is meant to protect the relationship. Bad jealousy is meant to possess the relationship. So if you have to boil all that down to one question that I want you to walk away with today. So if you tuned me out completely, because you're like, I'm not a jealous person, I can tune him out, and let me see what Facebook has to say today. Or was it Twitter and Instagram? And I have no idea what other things you guys listen to or watch. But this is the thing. Wake up, everybody. The question I'm asking you to ask yourself and tie it into every day. Whenever you see jealousy come up in your life, whenever those moments of thoughts happen, is my jealousy meant to protect or possess? Is my jealousy meant to protect or possess? And that's what I leave you with today for this sermon on jealousy. So let's seek the Lord in prayer, and then we will close out the service. Father, thank you for the way you encourage us, the way you guide us, and the way you direct us. Father, we're just grateful for the way you are navigating this sermon series so far. Father, next week, as we lean into the idea of fear, Father, may you prepare our hearts this week for that. Father, this week when we have those jealous moments, those moments that are our moments of humanness, that jealousy stokes the fire and the burning in our belly becomes unbearable. Prompt us, Father. Prompt us to the question of, am I jealous to protect or possess? And Father, that question should tell us all. And Father, may we just seek you in prayer and a way to resolve. Father, we're thankful for the way you encourage us, guide us, and direct us. And Father, may you send us out because you are the one true God. Father, we say this in Jesus' name. Amen.